كل نفس ذائقة الموت ثم إلينا ترجعون قل يتوفاكم ملك الموت الذي وكل بكم ثم إلى ربكم ترجعون
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الحدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويوم ينفخ في الصور ففزع من في السماوات ومن في الأرض إلا من شاء الله وكل أتوه داخرين ونفخ في الصور فصائق من في السماوات ومن في الأرض إلا من شاء الله ثم نفخ في أخرى فإذا هم قيام ينظرون Dear brothers in Islam, the topic which is given to me, that is when it was blown into the trumpet. In Arabic, As-Sur. As-Sur is the trumpet. In Al-Quran, there are two different description of what is going to happen to the people when it was blown into the trumpet. One is the ayah of Surah Az-Zumar, where it is said that when it was blown into the trumpet, remember the words, فَسَّعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ Everyone who was in the heaven, in the earth, went into a swoon, fell unconscious. So what sa'iqa is used? Sa'iqa man fi samawati wal ard. And the other word which is used in Surah An-Naml, وَيَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ فَفَزِعَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ When it was blown into the trumpet, everyone who was in the heaven, in the earth, was frightened. The word فَزِعَ يَوْمُ الْفَزَعِ الْأَكْبَرِ The great day of fright. And then in Surah Az-Zumar, the second blowing of trumpet is mentioned. ثُمَّ نُفِقَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ Then a second time it was blown into the trumpet and all the people, they were standing, looking. So does it mean there are three types of blowing? Or three times of blowing or two times? Some people, they said, oh, according to this description, there should be three. One of sa'iqa, when everybody is going to fall, means fall dead. The second, fazi'a, when everybody is going to be frightened. And the third, when they are going to get up once again from their graves. But the true reality is that there would be only two blowing into the trumpets. The first one, which is the end of this world, when Israfil, the angel Israfil, is going to blow into the trumpet, those who are alive, they would fall dead. And those who are already dead in their graves, they would have a shaking, that shaking which is going to prepare them for another life. Remember this. With the first blowing, every living soul would die and every dead body would be shaken to prepare himself or herself for a new life. After a long time, there would be a second blowing. And in the second blowing, that is the time when people are going to get up from their graves. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ They would stand ينظرون. They are looking here and there, or they are waiting. The second blowing is the blowing of fright as well, because people are now, they are expecting accountability, they are expecting reckoning, they are expecting to stand in front of their Lord. So this is why there would be a fright in their heart. So the second blowing is also the blowing of fright as well. In this way you can reconcile between these two ayat.
Now the main thing is that people are waiting for this blowing in the trumpet. They say that would be the last day. And until that last day, they think that we should not worry a lot. No. The Prophet ﷺ has said, "Man mata faqad qamat qiyamatu." The person who dies, his last day has come. Faqad qamat qiyamatu. So what? Are you waiting for the last blowing into the trumpet? No. Your last day, when you breathe your last, that is your last. You have to prepare yourself for that. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, He has mentioned about two events. Events of the coming of the end of this world. إِذَا وَقَاتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ لَيْسَ لِوَقَاتِهَا كَاذِبَةِ خَافِذَةُ الرَّافِعَةِ إِذَا رُجَّتِ الْأَرْضُ رَجَّةِ وَبُسَّتِ الْجِبَالُ بَسَّةِ فَكَانَتْ حَبَاءً مُنْبَثَّةِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا فَأَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ أُولَئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ ثُلَّةٌ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِنَ الْآخِرِينَ. That is the end of the last day, when people, when everything is going to be shaken. That will be the last day, and you would be resurrected in three groups. But in the end of this surah, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the last events of each and every person is mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَلَا أُخْسُمِ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَحَّرُونَ تنزيل من رب العالمين أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم إن هذا لهو حق اليقين فصبح باسم ربك العظيم. That gives the description of the soul leaving the body. When the soul is leaving the body, you see the person dying, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you think that you are not responsible, فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ, if you think that you are not slave to anyone, تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, try to return this soul in the body if you can do that. That was the challenge which is given. If you think that you can control that soul, return it into the body. You can't return it, because it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once it leaves. Once it comes to the throat, then nobody can return it. So we are concerned about this last day, the last day of each and every person. It can come at any time. You have to think that what is going to happen to you, and that event, you see, the way you are going to die, the very same way you are going to be resurrected on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep you in that condition. A person who was in ihram for Hajj, and he fell down from his camel, and then he died. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, bury him in his ihram, because on the day of judgment he would be resurrected saying, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. He died in the state of labbaik. in the state of Ihram, he would be resurrected in the state of Ihram. You might have seen in the news item just 3 days ago, when our brothers in Gaza, they were targeted by bombing, and they have shown a Palestinian brother who was just about to die, and he said, La ilaha illallah, ashadu an la ilaha illallah. That person was conscious, and he could say, La ilaha illallah. Dying an iman. That is the difference between the death of a believer and the death of a person who does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who dies in iman and faith, he knows that I am going to meet Allah. Everybody is going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, or after 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that so? So the person who is meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows that I am going to meet Allah. He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Because he knows that the suffering of this world would be over once he dies. Now he is farouhun wa raihan wa jannatu na'im. He believes in that. This is why he receives the deaths smiling. On the other hand, there is another person who wants to kill that person. Why he wants to kill that person? Why? To protect ourselves. We want to protect ourselves. This is why we have to kill the others. If our one person dies, we are going to kill 100 of yours. That is their mentality. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَنْ يُعَمَّرُ. One of them would say, I wish I could live for 1,000 years. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even if he is given a life 1,000 years, does he think that azab is going to delay it from him? Even if he lives for 1,000 years, still he would enter into azab. So this person who knows that he is going to enter into azab, this is why he wants to prolong his stay in this world. Let me live here for 1,000 years. Because he just loves this world, this material world. He wants to live for this world. He wants to die for this world. And this is why he wants to cling to this world. That is his mentality. That is the difference between the mentality of a believer and a non-believer. The person who does not want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants to remain in this world for a longer period. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, even if you stay here for 1,000 years, again, where you are going to come? To me. You face me. And that is one of the biggest evidences of Al-Quran upon the Day of Judgment. Biggest, that in each and every soul, there is a realization that justice should be done. Look at the beginning of Surah Al-Qiyamah. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. Nay, whatever the kuffar believes that there is no day of resurrection, that is wrong. I swear by the day of resurrection, Al-Qiyamah. ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. Nay, whatever they say is wrong. I swear by the reproaching, by the self-reproaching nafs. Just think, what is the relation between these two ayat? First swearing by the day of resurrection, second swearing by the reproaching nafs. What is the relation between two of them? Because the day of Qiyamah you have not seen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to know about the day of Qiyamah. Why the day of Qiyamah is needed? Why? I swear by the self-reproaching nafs. In your nafs, there is a magistrate court. Whenever you do something wrong, That magistrate says to you, man, you have done wrong. Check yourself. You slap someone, you rebuke someone, you have done injustice to someone. There is a call which is coming from your nafs. Man, you have done wrong. This is not good. You should not do that. That is the cry which comes from each and every soul. It is found in each and every person, whether he is a Muslim or not a Muslim. He knows from inside that what is happening, what has been done, that is wrong. From where this cry is coming? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it is coming from the blaming nafs, reproaching nafs, an-nafsul lawwama. It does not leave you like this. It always reproaches you when you do something wrong. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that magistrate court in you for tiny acts you do of evil, what about the evil which is done in the whole world? What about the injustice which is done by the people? When people are killing each other without any justice at all. For one person you are killing 100 persons. Is that justice? No, that is not justice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you a day of justice. Do whatever you can do in this world. But remember, there would be a day of justice. And that is Yawmul Qiyamah. When there would be the bigger court. The bigger court that would stand on that day. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge among yourselves. Every person who has done anything wrong, even if it is an atom weight of an evil, that would be brought there. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ شَرٍ يَرَهُ. Either it was an atom weight of khair or an atom weight of shar, he is going to see it. We believe in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is powerful, who is strong, who is patient, who has given you this respite. Correct yourself. If you don't correct yourself, then you will go back to him. And he is going to give the judgment. And this is why we say that a Muslim can't be cruel. A Muslim can't be unjust. A Muslim can't be a killer. Even in fighting, the Prophet ﷺ said that even in fighting, only you have to fight those people who are combating you. You have to spare the lives of the non-combatants. You have to spare their lives. Don't kill any child, any woman, any old person. Don't even cut a tree. These sublime teachings of the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, they are the basis of mercy. This is why the Prophet of Islam is the Prophet of mercy. Inna arsalnaka rahmatan lil alameen. He is a mercy for the whole mankind. If that mercy was not there, then you would have seen only the wolves and the beast roaming on the surface of this earth. Nothing but beasts and wolves. But thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a model for mercy. And this is how all these teachings of mercy has appeared. And people are recognizing these characters of mercy. My dear brothers, we have to think about our own departures from this world. When the soul leaves the body, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They ask you about the soul. Say to them, the soul is the commandment of my Lord. But you are given a knowledge, a little knowledge about that. Whatever knowledge is given, we take it from Quran and Hadith. From Quran and Hadith. What is the soul? Nobody has seen the soul. But to understand this subject, let us think about the four worlds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about the four worlds كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم إليه ترجعون. How do you reject Allah? You were dead, you gave your life. Then he caused you to die, then he caused you to resurrect. Four worlds, death, life, death, life. These are the four worlds. In the same way, رَبَّنَا أَمَتَّنَا اثنتين وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثنتين فَهَلْ إِلَىٰ خُرُوجٍ مِّن سَبِيلٍ. Oh Allah, you caused us to die twice and you caused us to be alive twice. So is there a way out? So it means there are two deaths and two lives. But why the death first? كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا. You were dead, فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. Then he gave you life. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, he has created you from the loins of Adam. All those people who are going to be born in this world, they were created just like you can say the particle of the air. كَذَّرْ. They got no body at all. So these souls which got no body at all, they were in the state of non-existence. They were in the state of death. This is known as death because they are not given any body at all. So this is why the first thing is death. When these particles, they got their body, and this is how we know that when there is an embryo in the womb of a woman and the soul is breathed into it after 120 days of conception, then it becomes alive. The embryo becomes alive. And that embryo which has become alive, this is given the name of nafs now. So the first name which is given to each and every person, that was ruh, without any body at all. When it was given a body, it was attracted another word which is nafs. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about the nafs, kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. Every nafs is going to taste death. It does not say every ruh is going to taste death. Every nafs is going to taste death. Because nafs is a combination of the soul and body. So the first was the death. Then it was the life of this world now. And then comes the death when the soul is leaving that body. Once again, the soul is leaving the body, that is death. Soul is still there. It is not dead. It is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the third world. Not the third world in our geographical terms. Huh? Third world and the first world. And then the fourth world, when we are going to be resurrected once again. And another thing which we must understand here, that every second world is greater than the first world. First world of yourself was in the womb of your mother. That was the first world when you were given a small cell and you were living in the womb. That was your first world. And the second world is when you are going to be born and you come to this world. Now just take this scenario, for example, with the you are addressing the embryo in the stomach, in the womb of the mother. Just think, with the advancement of the science, you were able to address that child, that baby in the womb, and you say to that baby, "Hello." Yes. Are you listening? Yes. The world in which you are living, oh baby, that is a very small world. It is just a cell, small cell. And you are sucking the blood of your mother. Blood sucker. Your world is very little, very small. When you would come to this world, our world, oh, it is a great world, a shining world, a world of million and billion stars. A world of highways and motorways and planes and trains and this and that. Do you think that this baby is going to believe in you? He will say to you, shut up, old man, what you are talking about? The world in which I am living, that is all, that is good enough for me. I am getting my food, my everything. So that is my world. He will not going to believe in you. Because he got no senses to believe in you at that time. But when this child comes to this world, he would realize that how great is this world. Nothing to compare with the womb of the mother. Now when you are bearing a person, you are throwing him into the ditch, into the grave. Don't you feel sad for that person? This person is now going to a grave, a cell once again. A very narrow cell in which he would be confined. And then it would be dark. There would be no light at all. Let alone any video or any internet, anything. Nothing, nothing is there. In complete darkness. You feel sad for that person who is buried. Now you are stupid. You don't know that. What is that world, this third world? That third world, the world in which this person has gone? Because the Prophet ﷺ has said, if a person has died and La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, if the person who has died, who was praying throughout his life, who was fasting, who was giving zakat, who has done his hajj, who was loyal to Allah, who was obedient to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who died and La ilaha illallah, whose last saying was La ilaha illallah. After the questioning of the grave, when two angels come and they ask these questions, who is your Lord? What is your deen? What do you say about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he got the right answers. What happens after that? That grave is made spacious for him. So spacious that he can feel the cool wind of Al-Jannah coming. He would think that he's in Jannah. قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ in Surah Yasin. A person who died for the sake of Islam, Allah said, قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ, enter into Al-Jannah. Because we know that the Jannah of the hereafter did not come yet. So what was that Jannah in which he entered? That is this Jannah, which is known as Barzakh, Ismus life, the life after death. So that is a spacious world, a very spacious world. But we can't imagine it. But it only becomes spacious because of your actions, good actions. And this is why, as I said in the beginning, that your last action would count in which you are going to die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O believers, fear Allah as He should be feared, and you must not die except in the state of Islam. What does it mean? Don't die. You got death is not in your control. It means that remain on Islam, steadfast in Islam. Be always praying and fasting and doing good. So when you die on Islam. And when you die on Islam, then inshaAllah, you will be meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you die on an act which is a disobedience to Islam, then it is a terrible thing. And you see that whatever is going to happen in the grave or at the last moment of the person, that is the reflection of his life. And it very much resembles your sleep. In the sleep you got dreams. Dreams are of three kinds. Dreams from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the true dreams. You see the dream and then it comes true. Maybe after a day or 2 days or 3 days, a week, a month, a year, 20 years. Yusuf alayhi salam has seen a dream. Ya abatini ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaban wa shamsa wal qamara ra'aytuhum li sajidin. He has seen a dream and it was fulfilled after 25 years. It was fulfilled. So dreams take time to fulfill. But it is a true dream from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dreams from Satan. Satan shows you some dream to frighten you. A person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that I have seen myself that I am holding my head in my hand and walking. My head has been cut. I am holding it and walking and running. And Prophet said, this is from Satan. He wants to frighten you. Don't think about it. If you see a bad dream, a frightening dream, just turn in your bed. You will find yourself lying on your left. Turn to your bed. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Blow on your left side. Blow on your left side. Turn to your right side. And inshallah, this dream is not going to affect you at all. The third type of dream are adghasu ahlam. It means those dreams which are a reflection of your day-to-day life. Yes, a person does so many things in daytime. MashaAllah, a very good footballer. He was playing football, soccer, the whole day. He did not make any goal at all. But at night time, in the bed, he made scores after scores, goals after goals. MashaAllah. He is kicking in the bed. That happened, doesn't it? In the same way, a person who is in the habit of singing, you will see him not only singing in the bed, jumping in the bed, dancing in the bed as well. That is a reflection of his life. A person who does not know except dollar, pound, euro, all the time, the whole day, he is just dealing with the money, no prayer, no fasting, no Quran, nothing, no recitation of. In the dream, mashallah, the whole day he got no customer. At night time, mashallah, a queue of customers. Pounds after pounds, he is getting a lot of pounds. So that is a reflection of his life. On the other hand, if you are in the habit of reading Al-Quran, you will see yourself reading the whole surah of Al-Quran sometime. Whole surah. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Whole surah you read in your dream. That is the reflection of your life. And that is the same thing which happens to a person at the time of his death. Because some people would say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given a very easy prescription. Man qala la ilaha, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. The person whose last saying is la ilaha illallah, he would enter into al-jannah. They say, it's very easy. We don't pray, we don't fast, nothing. But when we are going to die, we say, La ilaha illallah, squat through into al-jannah. This is their belief. No, it's wrong. Why? Because if you are not abiding by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, you will not given tawfiq to say, La ilaha illallah at your last moment. The person would try to say, La ilaha, but he would not be able to say it. The person would have not any chance to say it. He might die in an accident. He got no chance even to say a word. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taken refuge of Allah from the accidental death. Why? Because the person who dies in an accident, he got even no time to do wasiyah, let alone to say la ilaha illallah. So remember that tawfiq comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are on the way of Allah, on your last moment, you would be able to say, La ilaha illallah. And as Imam al-Jawzi has mentioned some cases, that a person was a big businessman, and he did not pray, he did not fast. At his last moment, people are saying to him, Say La ilaha illallah, say La ilaha illallah. And he was saying, dirham dinar, dirham dinar, dirham dinar. That was the last moment he was saying. Just money, just about money. So these are the four, as I said, the third world is the world of barzakh. It is a lot spacious than this world. And what about the fourth one? That is the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that in Jannah there are things nobody has even perceived it, even seen it. No eyes have seen these things. No ear has heard about them. Now here, there is one question that we said about the questioning in the grave. So it is not death completely. You are saying that a person becomes alive after death as well. So to clarify this matter, let me say that though we are given this life and then after that life is death, but in this life there are some impressions of death. Some impressions of death. Not every person is sound and healthy. You become ill sometime. When you are ill, you are not so active as you were when you were healthy. So there is a difference between yourself when you are active and when you are inactive. When you were healthy, when you were ill, there is a difference between your own conditions. Sleep is declared as the sister of death. An-naumu ukhtul maut. Sleep is the sister of death. So when you are asleep, you are just like a dead person. And this is why, what is the dua when you go to the bed? Bismika Rabbi, amutu wa ahya. Amutu wa ahya. Allahumma bismika Rabbi, amutu wa ahya. You say before you go to the bed, oh my Lord, with your name I die. With your name I get up. So when you sleep, you are in the state of death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Az-Zumar as well that Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtaha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha fayumsiku allati qada 'alayha al-maut wa yursilu al-ukhra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the nafs at the time of their sleep, at the time of their death. So those people for whom the death is meant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala retains their souls. They do not return. And those who are meant to live, their souls are returned. So you get up in the morning. And when you get up in the morning, what is the dua of getting up in the morning? Alhamdulillah allazi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhin nushur. Alhamdulillah, thanks to Allah. Praises to Allah who gave us life after He gave us death. And to Him is the resurrection. So there is an impression of death in your lifetime, and that is the sleep. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it like this. Though you are alive, but still in that life there are impressions of death. And in the very same way, when you are dead, once the soul has left the body, there are some impressions of life. How? In the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, that is the long hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to a burial and he was waiting for the body to be brought, and at that time he gave this mu'izah, this piece of admonition. He said that when a believer is about to die, at that time angels come with a shroud of Al-Jannah, with a fragrance of Al-Jannah, and they sit at a certain distance from him, and the death angels come. The death angel comes and he says to that person, Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'innah, irji'i ila rabbik. O satisfied soul, O good soul, comes back to your Lord. And then he starts taking his soul so gently as the water is taken from the skin or that container of water which is made of leather. In olden times they used to have leather container of water, and these leather container of waters, they are full with water, and the person will bring that water to your house, and then he's going to pour water from that leather container, and when nothing is left in the leather container, he is going to squeeze it to get the last drop from that leather container. So in this way, the angel is going to take the soul from your body, very gently, as if the last drop will come out from your body. So you will not feel the pain of that soul leaving your body. And as soon as the death angel takes that soul, it is not left in his hand. It is picked by the angels who got a shroud from Al-Jannah, a fragrance from Al-Jannah. They will wrap it in that shroud. They will ascend to the heaven. And they would say, open for us the gate of the first heaven. And then they would ask, who is that person? And they would mention his name, the best name of that person. The name with his father's name. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ has said that have good names, because on the day of judgment you would be called upon with your names and the names of your fathers. So have good names, names of Sahaba, names of the Prophets of Allah, good names. Not the name like this is Nikki and this is Dicky and this is what these names are, huh? Have names, good names. Hassan, Hussein, these are the good names. Abu Bakr, Umar, these are the good names. Bilal, Khubayb, these are the good names. Fatima, Aisha, these are the names. A person thinks about these personalities. Who are these great people? Why I have been named by my father with this name? I should try to do something like them. And when they pass through the heaven, through all seven heavens, they have such a nice smell coming from that person that everyone in the heavens, and they are all angels, they would say, who is that good person? Who is that wise person? And this is how it was brought to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, this is my good slave. Write his record in Illiyin, in a place very high in the heaven. But return him, just return the soul for questioning. So this is how the soul is returned for questioning. Grave is just a term, a post-death term, because not all the people got the grave. Some people, they may die being drowned. They were eaten up by the fish. So they got no grave at all. Their grave is the belly of the fish. This happens to many people. The great scholar of India, Maulana Sulaiman Mansur Puri, he got the best book of Seerah, Rahmatun Lil Alameen, Mercy for the Whole Mankind. The author of that book, he was returning from Hajj when he died on the ship. And his body was laid down in the sea. So not all the people got the grave, but the soul is still there. So this is why whatever happens to you, that happens normally to the soul. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to have some impression on the body as well, then you can see some impression on the body of the person as well. But anyhow, this is an experience of the soul. Return this soul to the person, and the soul is returned. And after the soul is returned, these two angels, they come, they make him sit, and they ask him these three questions. Man Rabbuka, Ma Deenuka, Ma Taqulu Fi Hadha Ar-Rajul. Who is your Lord? What is your deen? What do you say about this man? This man means Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as I said to you that, you can, at that time, you can only reply, not because a paper has been given to you with all the answers written upon it. You see the paper, you say, Man Rabbuka, Rabbi Allah. No, this is not going to happen. Because you knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout your life. You were asking Him. You are supplicating to Him. You were always saying, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Qadir, Ya Alim, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Shakur. Always you have invoked His name. You are not invoking any ghost, any human being, no. You were just invoking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were not doing any shirk at all. No shirk at all. Just the name of Allah in your supplication. Very easily you would say, Rabbi Allah, my Rabb is Allah. That is the reflection of your whole life. The second question, ma deenuk, what is your deen? And what is the deen? Islam is based upon five things: shahadatu Allah, ilaha illallah, prayer, zakat, fasting, hajj. These are the five basic things. And you have been doing them. You knew halal and haram. You were reading Al-Quran. You were respecting your parents. You were doing something good. You were not killing other people. That person would easily would say, Deeni al-Islam. My deen is Islam. And when you are asked about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have followed the Prophet throughout your life. You wanted to appear just like the Prophet sallallahu in your appearance. You wanted to follow him. You wanted to follow his sunnah. He said, pray as I pray. You wanted to follow his type of prayer. So when you followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout your life, you would be easily saying that my Nabi is Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here I remember one of our great friends when I was in Nairobi, Kenya, Hafiz Talib. He said this story. He said that once some people came to me and they said to me, oh, a certain young man has died. Just say his name was Abdullah. He has died, so come to his grave and do talqeen. Now, talqeen is a practice which is not proved by an authentic sunnah. There is a very, very weak hadith of Abu Umama al-Bahili which says about talqeen that when a person is buried, then on the grave, you say these words, oh man, when the two angels come to you, they ask you, who is your Lord? Say, my Lord is Allah. When they ask you, what is your religion? Say, my religion is Islam. This is known as talqeen. Talqeen means dictation. So you dictate to the person once he is buried. So that is a practice which I have seen in Africa. But as I said to you, that is not proved by an authentic hadith. So this is why we don't do it. Hafiz Talib said that people came to me and they said, do talqeen to that person who has died. He said, who died? Abdullah. His name was Abdullah. He has died. Hafiz Saab said, Abdullah? Abdullah, huh? This Abdullah, when he was alive, many times I said to him, lad, come to the prayer, come to the mosque. He never listened to me. Many times I said to him, come, read Quran with me. He never listened to me. Many times I said to him, come, attend any lesson with me. He never listened to me. Now do you think that he is dead? Huh? He is dead. He is going to listen to me? So no dictation is going to work here at all. It is your own actions. By your actions. So this is the life which is restored now. This is restored now. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the dead person hears the sound of the footstep of retreating people. Just think about the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-mayyitu yasma'u qar'a ni'alihim. The dead body hears the sound of the stamping of their shoes when they are retreating. Why? He does not hear when they are coming, when they were bringing his body to the graveyard. He was not listening anything. But when they were retreating, he was hearing that sound. Why? Because that is the time when the soul was put back into his body and he was given that soul to such an extent to just reply to these three answers, three questions. So this is why he can hear that sound. And the fourth question, in some ahadith it is mentioned, the angels would say to him that, how did you know all this? And he would say that, because I have read Al-Quran. I have read Al-Quran, and because of reading Al-Quran, I knew that who is my Lord, and what is my deen, and who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because he has given the right answers, the angels would say, all right, nam ka naumatil arus. Now you sleep just like a bride. just like a bride. Because the idea is, when a woman is a bride, so the first night would be very happy night. Very happy night. Is it true? Yes, mostly it is a happy night, but in some cases, especially because I deal with so many cases in Islamic Sharia Council of divorce cases, I know, because to some it is a terrible night. Huh? The first night is the most terrible night in their lives. So they would say to him, "Nam ka nawmat al-arus," just sleep like a bride, and only the most beloved person is going to wake you up. And that is your bridegroom. This what is meant in this context. So this person got a very sound and good sleep. He is having good cool air coming from Al-Jannah. This grave has been made very spacious. He would not feel that he is in grave at all. Again, once again, I would remind you, just if you got a very pleasant dream that you are in a big castle and there are all good things around you, so you smile at that time. So this is what is going to happen to that person. On the other hand, the person who is a non-believer or the person who did not practice Islam at all, in the hadith of Al-Bara' ibn Azib, what is going to happen, the angels would bring a hair cloth with the stench, just like the stench of a corpse, which is giving a very bad smell. And then the death angel would come and he will take out the soul from that person with such a pain. The example is given, just like, think about the iron spit which is cut into a moistened wool with iron spit. If you want to take the iron spit from it, you have to do a lot of effort. In this way, his soul was taken out from his body. And once the soul was taken and it is in the hand of the death angel, then it will be received by the other angels who are waiting for it with that hair cloth. They put in that hair cloth, which is giving a very bad smell, they would ascend to the heaven. They would try to enter the heaven. And it would say to them, "No, there is no entrance for you at all." Then it would be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would say, place his record into a place called Sijjin. Sijjin is coming from Sijjin. Sijjin means a prison. And return it to the grave for the questioning. And when the two angels ask him the very same three questions, he would not be able to answer any of them. To each and every question he would say, I don't know. And this is how after that the torture would begin. Azabul Qabr, the torture of the grave. And it is haqq. This is why the Prophet ﷺ used to take refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the torture of the grave. Inni a'udhu baka min adhabil qabr. Inni a'udhu baka min adhabil qabr. He would say a lot, "Oh Allah, I take refuge from the torture of the grave." And if you just make another comparison with a terrible dream, a nightmare, you got a very terrible dream, and how you feel at that time when you see such a terrible dream. So that would be a nightmare for such a person after death. That is the torture of the grave. Some people, they would say, "Oh, it is not proved from Al-Quran." No, it is proved from Al-Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Mu'min about the people of Fir'aun. It is said about them that an-naru yu'raduna 'alayha ghuduwan wa 'ashiyya wa yawma taqumu as-sa'ah adkhilu ala fir'auna ashadd al-'adhab. The people, Fir'aun, Pharaoh and his courtiers who were drowned in the Red Sea, they were drowned at that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling about them, an-naru yu'raduna 'alayha ghuduwan wa 'ashiyya. They are presented to the fire in the morning, in the evening. وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةَ, and the day of the judgment, it would be said to them, أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. admit the people of Fir'aun in the most severest penalty. So it means before the last day, there is a presentation to the fire in the evening, in the morning, and that is the torture of the grave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those people who were drowned among the people of Nuh alayhi salam because they did not believe in Nuh alayhi salam. Mimma khati'atihim ughriqu fa udkhilu nara. Because of their sins, they were drowned. Fa udkhilu nara. And then they entered into the fire. They were made to enter into the fire. What is that fire? Because the fire of the hellfire still to come. So it means that is the torture of the grave. So let us understand this thing, that this is haqq. Adab al-qabr, that is haqq. And you can only avoid it with your good actions, with your Quran, with your fasting, with your prayer, with your mercy to the mankind, with your good actions, with your sadaqah, with your zakat. The person who has given witness with his blood, that is known as shaheed. That is the only person who is saved from the questioning of the grave. A shaheed, the Prophet said, Amin al-Fattan. He is saved from this questioning, that fitna. That is only for shaheed. Because every one of you is a shaheed. Every one of you is a shaheed, shaheed for Islam, a witness for Islam. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. You are all shaheed on Islam, mean a witness for Islam. A good testimony for Islam with your prayer, with your honesty, with your good work, with your mercy, with your kindness. You are a witness for Islam. But if you give a false witness for Islam, then it is not acceptable at all. And the person who gives that testimony with his blood, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him that favor. He was saved from al-fattan, from this questioning and the torture of the grave. So this is how he has been treated. So anyhow, these are so many things which could be said about this subject. And the main thing, just to remind you once again, that we have to think about, each one of us should think about his last day, and he should die on the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not upon any act of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to be just yourself. If the people are unjust, it does not justify for you to become unjust. If they do something which is unacceptable, you are not allowed to do things which are unacceptable, because you are the model. Muslims, Islam, they are the model for the last deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to behave always in the best way, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has behaved. You know, the Prophet has been tortured, has been persecuted by the people of Makkah. And when he conquered Makkah, and all those people who tortured him, who tortured the believers, they were there expecting punishment from him. But what did he say? He asked them, what do you expect from me? And they said, Anta Kareem, Wabnu Kareem, you are a very generous person, the son of a very generous person. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, then I would say the same words which Yusuf alayhi salam has said to his brethren, those brethren who have thrown him into the well. He said to them, when they came to him in Egypt, he said to them that, La tasriba alaykum al-yawm, no blame upon you today. Same thing I am going to say to you, La tasriba alaykum al-yawm, there is no blame upon you today. Yadhabu fa antum al-tulaqa, go, all of you are free. That was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even when somebody does bad to you, try to do good to him. And this is the way of Islam. And with this, I conclude my speech. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.